Hey, what's up, you guys? It is Nikki James here on Nick Talk. Thanks for tuning in to another episode. Today we have a really fun guest. Trust me, you're going to be so entertained. He's a friend of mine, and he is a personal chef. So he's a personal chef to the stars, celebrities, different people all around. He'll fly anywhere as long as you pay for his ticket. But he's amazing. He is funny. He is charismatic, energetic, and he is just, he's a cool person. He's got a really cool story. So without any further ado, you guys, here is my friend, Chef Manny, talking about a personal touch.
As I continue to evolve myself as a personal chef, that is the most important thing to me is, you know, whatever I'm delivering to my clients, it needs to come from me personally and have that personal touch that I'm used to giving everything that I put in. So,
and you know what, maybe I should have opened up a little bit more with, you know, what it is that you do. So, Manny he's a personal chef. He is also, like a nutritionist-esque. So he knows, like, you know, what you want. He comes to your home and, he's basically a chef to the stars. And, he's got that way through his own trials and tribulations, which I want to talk a little bit about, you know, as we go forward. Yeah. So let's start it off with, you know, like, what got you into cooking?
Oh man. What got me into cooking? Survival, really. You have to eat. You know, that's the most important thing is, you know, making sure that you can eat. No, but I've had a lot of foster mothers that I used to just kind of observe in the kitchen, ask questions, but they gave me a lot of inspiration throughout my life. You know, I've seen a lot of cast iron cooking. I've seen so many things cooked in one cast iron pan. Let's just say that. In so many different ways.
I feel like that adds to the flavor. So like my mom, my parents did the same thing, and it was just like everything all in one pan. And then whatever like secreted off of like the juices that you cooked in that thing, they intended, like, that was like, this is going to add to the flavor of the next.
Yep. Thing. Yep. It's almost like, and you have to cook bacon in it once a week to properly season it. See, that's what you're...
All right, so let's get back to what got you cooking. So, you know, I know you come from Ohio. I know you have, like, you know, similar roots that I do. And there's something about Southern cooking.
What? You're from Columbus? You're from Ohio?
Well, what? Yeah, I live
no
there.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not from there. I had terrible experiences there just with weather, And so
because it snows.
Okay. Wait a second. Okay. I've been to Switzerland. I've been all around the world, Chef Manny. And let me tell you what, there is nothing that gets colder than Ohio on a dark night in the dead of February. With the wind chill coming off of Lake Erie that somehow makes it down to Columbus. And I've never experienced anything like it.
It's really phenomenal. And we probably had the most snow in the last 2 weeks that we've had in the last 3 years, to be honest with you. Since like the last time it was like the polar vortex, whatever thing. Like, yeah. So I don't know. I'm really enjoying it. It's nice and white outside. I just keep getting a fresh dusting over and over. So I'm not shoveling anything.
See, I like it when it's white, but then what happens is cars start going by and then like spreading all the caca. It turns brown and then you're just...
I'll show you my backyard. I'll send you pictures when I do our photo album. So you have, I'll make sure I send you a few pictures of that too.
All right.
So, you know, I got the real deal. Don't even worry about it.
All right. Well, let's get back to this cast iron, like, pot of joy. So tell us how you got there.
Oh man. So, you know, tons of inspiration throughout the homes that I lived in. Food equals comfort, happiness, and love, you know, and you need all of those together in one recipe to make it, you know, taste what it, I remember it as, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had mothers that cooked every Sunday, you know, there was a family dinner. So it did, it equated to familyness, family and togetherness. When I got older, I went to college, obviously. I wanted to go to a historically Black college. One, because I wanted to be on the drum line because I watched that movie with Nick Cannon. I literally wanted to do that. So I stopped playing football in high school so I could be in the marching band because I wanted to be in drum line. I wanted to be on the drum line. I thought that was like coolest thing ever. So I graduated high school, went to Kentucky State University, made the drum line, playing bass drum my freshman year. I mean, it was like the best and the worst experience of my entire life. You know, there's tons of stuff that I can't talk about, but like traveling and being on the line and practicing day in and day out was one of the best experiences of my life. But I also needed a part-time job, right?
Yeah.
So I started cooking in the cafeteria as well. That was like my work study. So at that time, like once I started working in the cafeteria, like I was like, well, this is what I really want to do. Like I could do this for 8 hours, 10 hours,
yeah,
12 hours. You know, and it kind of really started from there, you know. And after that, everybody kind of knew me as the chef.
Yeah.
You know? I was big on making pizzas early on in my career. And
did it just, you like the pizza joke with you, like making pizzas? Did they ever ask you to dance?
No. No. Nobody does. No. Oh, they ask you to dance when you make pizzas?
Yeah. I still got like do the pizza.
Hold on. So I judge people on their pizza making skills. What's yours like?
Yeah, I don't know how to make pizzas. this is why I need you on my show, because I need you to tell people how to do everything, because
oh my gosh.
Sure, listen, I'm sure there's so many people that know how to cook and that, you know, go on Pinterest and get a recipe. But what they don't know how to do is they don't know how to kind of like problem solve when you don't have what you need to, or
when you don't have something. Yeah.
Yeah. Or when things
on the fly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things never go right. They never go right. You just go with the flow, really. Yeah. That's the difference between cooking and baking, because baking is really precise and cooking is just something that you just do, because every time is really going to be different.
Yeah. So why is it different every time? Do you think it's because like maybe a different cut of the meat or a different temperature or what?
Everything is the different time of day. It's different part of the year because of gravity. It's the temperature in the room. It's how the animals are fed, how they died.
Wow.
I'm serious. It really is a lot. As I continue to learn more, the more I want to like make sure that I'm cognitive about where I'm sourcing my product from, building relationships with people as local as possible to me so that I don't have to just shop at the grocery store, but I can go to the local market, one, to support a small business because I want small businesses to support me back, and two, because they shop local and they have local relationships with local farmers as close as Lancaster, you know, and a couple of farms around there that, you know, are the product that I'm putting out to my clients is, you know, it's one of the best product possible because it's not traveling a far away. I know that they're, you know, using, you know, is humane practices, I guess they can, you know, or at least we can talk about. But I've actually went out and met some of the farmers that I shop for some of my produce as well as my meat from. So, you know, just to have that personal touch. All right, cool. I mess with you because I met you, you know, and now I know you a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So let's tell people what it is that you do right now. Like, what is your specialty? What is it? What are the jobs that you like to take right now?
Right now, the jobs that I like to take are in-house cooking dinners. I'm really only booking 1 to 2 a week because I really like to spend quality time on those menus. Mm-hmm. And I mean, those can still be 15 to 20 hour jobs over the course of the week, you know, just 3 jobs. But those are my favorite because I feel like I'm on stage.
Yeah.
I like to be on stage. I like to, bring the show, per se. So I'm really loving doing that. Plus, like when I do like dinners for like 2, dinners for 4, you know, 6, whatever, you know, those trios of couples, like it's really way more personal.
Yeah.
It's not as loud. There's not dishes banging everywhere. It's our dishes banging everywhere. It's our laughter. It's our good vibes. It's our good time, you know, that we're having right now. And I love when people ask me questions, you know, and I love when we can just kind of be together. I can't be with you if I'm back there in the kitchen with my back turned to you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I just thought about while you were talking and you were like explaining all these things about, you know, what you like to do. I know Valentine's Day is coming up. So is there anything that you're getting excited about? Like, do you have a client that you're going to cook for? Like, how do you handle that? Can you get overbooked? I mean, I know that's like a lot of questions.
I mean, all right, let's start from the top then. So Valentine's Day, am I excited? Yes. You know, I have a special dinner for 2. She went all out for her man. Let's just say that. You know, that's why one reason why I'm practicing cooking the bone-in ribeye right now, because I have to, you know, cook 2 of those, you know, this weekend, which is going to be fun, you know, and they have special customized dishes. Like, she has different appetizers than he has. I have to shuck oysters for him. Oh. Okay. But she wants cauliflower fried rice. You know, but who cares, you know?
Yeah.
1 bowl of lobster bisque as well. So I'm preparing, you know, for that as well. You know,
lobster bisque from scratch?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You have to. You have to. So, and what I do is whenever I have like a lobster tail or, you know, some claws left over or whatever like that, I usually save them, freeze them. And then when I'm ready to make a batch of lobster stock, I go ahead and obviously, you know, I break down the shells and I just put those in the pan, get my stock going. And now I have lobster stock. Now, once I drain that, you just add the cream to it, you know, and then you have the bisque, and then you can add poached lobster tail or, you know, a few claws or whatever to top it off, you know, so you have some nice chunks of meat in there too.
And decadent flavor, I'm sure.
Yes. No, I am excited about that for sure. I'm excited about that dinner. But I don't put too much on myself right now because one, I'm worth, you know, so much more. One. And if I put to answer your question about being overbooked, there's no such thing. You know, you either sell your time to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
That is the only option. You sell your time to the highest bidder, yep. You know, and you, unfortunately, I mean, it's, you know, although you want to reach everybody, you know, you can't necessarily touch everybody.
And so that brings me to my next question. So if people want to book you, how do they book you? And what if they don't live in your town? Do you require them to pay for, because that's a lot of money that you have to pay for, the groceries, the gas, the, I don't know, plane flight, like my goodness, like you're not cheap, are you?
No.
Yes, right.
I don't plan on taking any losses, you know. There shouldn't be any losses here. There's only opportunities for investment. And that's how I look at it.
And your quality, honestly, the one reason I wanted to have you on my show is because I only know a few other personal chefs, and they don't have the diversity that you do, and just diversity of cooking, you know. So one was, you know, specifically Hispanic, one was specifically like burgers and fries and American food. Manny, you do everything. What really drew me to have you on was you take a little bit of everything and kind of put it into one. And it's almost like you're making up your own like menu. You know how like some people think, okay, what are you in the mood for tonight? Chinese, Mexican, pizza, pasta, meat. You're like coming out with a whole new category for the things that
Manny Fusion.
It is definitely the Manny Fusion. I swear. I have watched what you have done. You've sent me some videos before, you know, before we've connected like this, but I'm impressed. You will take so many different variations of different groups to create a whole new flavor. And I think you're the next big thing.
Thank you. I feel like I'm the next big thing.
I'm so excited.
I tell my son all the time, I said, you know, your dad is on his way to being famous. You know that, right? And he goes, yeah, dad, you said that. You said that already. I was like, okay, son, I wanted to let you know before everybody else finds out. So when it happens, you'd be he did say that.
Well, I don't know. Okay, I guess I got to give it to your son first, but I also said it second. Okay. when you're a famous chef, you can be like, I got my big break on Nikki James's TikTok.
That's the first thing that I'm going to say. Like, we're about to blow up together. If you want to do like a cooking segment together, then it's on.
All right. Look, I'm not. No. I would love to do that.
How are your skills in the kitchen? Come on, let's be honest.
I mean, good.
All right, cool.
I mean, does that ever mean
anything? Chef Manny can teach. Chef Manny can teach, okay?
But let me tell you, all of the listeners, Chef Manny, because you're right. We all think we can cook, right? Until we meet someone like you. And then what you do is you take these, it's almost like a symphony of art. And I'm like, and then it explodes in your mouth and you had no idea that you liked those taste combinations. I'm so excited for people to get to know the flavors that you're going to bring. So 100%, we're going to do a part two. We're going to do cooking with Chef Manny or something. We'll name it something cooler. I don't know.
I forgot to pay homage to one of my most important mentors. Actually, my first job ever was at a pizza shop.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I worked at a local pizza shop before it went corporate and all that. A young man, he owned his own franchise at a pizza shop. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever. See a Black man owning a business, taking me under his wing. Wayne Gatewood. Shout out to Wayne Gatewood if you're out there. You know, if I find you, shout out to you, man. For real. You know, teaching me how to open, work the lunch shift, work the before dinner shift, and teach me how to close, man. Shout out to you. You know, right, giving this young Black man a chance.
So what did he teach you? What did you walk away? Like, what's your story from that?
One, I learned that Black men can be something greater than just somebody's employee. They can be the boss. Yeah. I learned that early. I learned early that there were people in this world that were willing to give me a chance and invest in my future. And that was important for me to be presented that opportunity at that time in my life. I needed that. And I needed a Black man to look up to as a role model because I didn't have a consistent father in my life at that time. So those were like my main takeaways from that whole experience. And I rode the bus every weekend to get there. It was a 3-hour round trip. That's all I can tell you. And this is back when the city center was the hub.
Yeah. And we kind of passed over this a little bit, Manny. We kind of passed over the fact that because we were making a joke that I didn't hear it, right? But you were adopted. And I don't know if you were adopted, but you were in the foster care, right? From what you said, for a long time. So yeah, having that
your whole life. Yeah.
So what does that mean for your whole life?
It's Jeff Manny's. Oh, so like pretty much just after my second birthday till I was 17. I was adopted at 17. Yeah. Wow. And I've been with my family that I was adopted at 17 with since then. So that's about just shy of 16 years. I'm not really trying to tell everybody my age right now, but you know.
That's all right. But I love these stories like that because the minute that you say you know that you've gone through this and you've gone through that, it immediately allows listeners to understand your mental perspective as you're moving forward and trying to gain this entrepreneurial like mentality, and like you're trying to go out there and focus on it, but you're actually passionate about food. You love food because that was probably, I mean, I know we've talked before, but that was one of the comforts that you had during this time of uncertainty. You loved food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about when you were in foster care and the kind of food that you received there and how that influenced you.
Oh, man. I mean, fried chicken, you might have fried chicken twice a week because you might get the dark meat, you know, one part of the week. And then, you know, you might get the wings or whatever that Miss Georgia made, you know, the other part of the week. So we always had some fried chicken. Smothered pork chops was a big thing. So fried pork chops and then smothered in gravy with onions, with rice and either carrots or green beans and corn or greens or fried cabbage if we had it, you know. Mac and cheese usually didn't happen until the weekends because, you know, that just required so much. You know, there's boiling of the noodles, then you gotta throw that pan, you know, then you gotta clean that pan out, then you gotta put then you have to take the Velveeta cheese and throw that in there like this. Literally, nope, like sausage. No.
You do it like the Velveeta cheese in the package.
The block. No. The block.
Oh, is that the one where you have to cut it?
Yeah. But you tear it off like sausage. That's what she showed me. Oh. You just tear it off like sausage. You know what I'm talking about? Italian sausage?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. I had to do it. Tear it off. I basically just do that to understand what you're talking
about. Right.
I get it.
Okay. Right. So you tear that off like sausage. Then you take the Kobe cheese and you put that in there. And then you put some milk in there. And then you stir it up. And then you put the cheddar cheese in there, and then you stir it up, and then you put the butter in there, and then you stir it up, and then you put the salt and pepper in there, and then you stir it up, and then you put it in the oven, and you let it bake till it's done.
And how do you know when it's done?
She know. You gotta know. You know.
Do you know what my mom taught me? Well, she goes, okay, when you're making spaghetti, and you've got Doesn't matter. She turned like Italian instantly. She goes, rigatoni, fricini, like, okay, don't matter. Throw it against the, I almost swore. If it sticks, it's done. I'm like, Mom, okay. So I got used to just throwing my noodles against the wall. And if they stuck, they were cooked right.
Really? And that's, I mean, is that your, is that how you figure out if everything's done or just pasta?
I like to throw a lot of things against the wall. I'm not going to show you around my house, but, you know,
just to see if they're done.
Done.
Oh man, that's hilarious.
But no, she specifically said that with pasta. And
I know.
Yeah. And you know,
I think also, that's such the lamest thing ever. Like you could come up with something better than that. Like,
I know, but it works, and, doesn't it?
But I've never, like, I learned from one of the best Italians in Columbus. Like, they've had an Italian restaurant for 4 generations. Yeah. And so I learned from him and his family. And not once did he tell me to throw any of his pastas that we made by hand. He never said throw that against the wall.
But how memorable would it have been if he did?
Oh my gosh. I'm not commenting on that. Okay. I'm not getting it. I'm not even getting into that.
Hey Mom, she's in nursing, she's not in food. So I'll take your advice over hers. Okay, she made me eat some terrible things. Terrible. I'm like, ugh. Do you know my mom used to leave the butter out?
So did my mom. So does my mom. My mom does that currently. I'm always like,
I'm still alive.
I'll come over. I'm like, how long has this been out?
I know. It gets like all soupy on the bottom. And I'm like,
have you ever made butter?
No.
That was the coolest thing ever. I did it the first time by accident. Yeah. Okay. I over whipped my cream butter. So the quickest way to make butter is to be trying to make whipped cream and over whip it.
What does that mean? And how do you make whipped cream?
Awesome. So basically, if you have like a stand mixer or whatever, you just put a quart of butter or a quart of cream in the bottom of the mixer with your whip attachment, and yep. You just start whipping it. And then when you start getting peaks in the cream, keep whipping it. And then after that, whip it some more, and then it will become like a clump, and you'll start seeing the butter form. The butter form and the buttermilk, aka the liquid, will start forming at the bottom. It's just science, really. It's over whipped cream. That's all it is. And I didn't even know until after the fact. You literally could make your own butter. I just want you to know that. You could make your own cheese too, but I wouldn't really suggest that. I'm not there yet to be making cheese. I mean,
listen, Manny, when a problem comes along, you must whip it. Apparently.
Exactly.
You must whip it.
If you need butter, if you want salted butter, add a little salt. If you want sweet cream butter, add some powdered sugar to it.
Do you know what I learned from Longhorn Steakhouse?
What's that?
I learned how to melt butter in the microwave, add some cinnamon and some sugar. Uh-huh. And then let it set and rest, and then give it another little whip. And then it's the cinnamon sugar butter that you get at Texas Roadhouse.
You're hilarious. That was like the cheap a-hole way to do it, though. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's actually one of the times where you're supposed to like leave the butter out, soften it, and then once it's soft, add the cinnamon sugar to it, and then you have the butter.
I'm about results, immediate results. This is why I like
roasted. Do you cook everything on high?
No, I don't cook. I hire Chef Manny.
There you go.
Hey.
Now you talking.
You're welcome. All right. So what's your favorite dish to make?
This year?
No, just
this year? Steak.
Okay. So you're saying this year. Was there something like before this year?
No, I've always loved cooking pasta. I think because it requires you to use your hands. And I love to use my hands. Okay. You know, I don't have a manicure right now, but do they look pretty good?
They look super fabulous. So you liked steak this year. This is your thing. What's your cut?
Ribeye. I love the fat on it. I've been going to a local market that they've just been treating me right. I have nothing bad to say about them. Like,
this is a good question though, because a lot of people don't know the answer to this. Why do you want fat in your meat?
The same reason you cook with butter. The same reason you want fat in anything. You don't want it to be too dry.
Yeah.
You know, you want it to have crispy edges.
Yeah.
You know, you want it to have a nice sear. Ugh, you want it to be nice and juicy.
Yes. Ugh. All right. Listen, I know this is just, this is our audio podcast, but I do want to tell the listeners right now, Manny is a very fit young man. And if he's eating butter and steak and ribeye that is marbled in fat, so can you.
The fat the fat pockets, let me tell you what I did. The fat pockets, I stuffed it with garlic and thyme. Okay.
I can't wait to make this with you. Like I said, we're gonna have to do this on Chef Manny too. All right, so let's talk about this. You do personal home visits, and I have two questions for you, so we're going to answer in two parts. First one, what is your worst experience going to someone's house? Don't hold back. You don't have to mention names, but come on, entertain us.
I'm not going to mention no names.
No names.
Or anything of a sort, but I learned early on being a personal chef that just bring your own stuff. It makes it easier, okay? I don't care how nice your house is. Just bring your own stuff. It makes it easier because I'm comfortable cooking with my own tools. I'm comfortable cooking with my own pots and pans. For some reason, they're easier to clean up. It's weird. I don't know, but they're mine, okay? And on the day in question, you know, when I was a young lad, you know, before I got my nice chef roll with all my nice chef knives and my spoons and spatulas.
Okay.
Stuff.
Wow.
And my cast irons, you know, all that stuff. I just thought I could just show up to somebody's house with like two knives and wrapped in a towel.
Oh, no.
You know?
Oh, no.
I just thought people would have stuff, and they didn't have stuff. They had two pans. They had one saucepan, okay, and one copper, you know, one of those copper pan things, okay? Mm-hmm. And they wanted pan-seared sea bass with shrimp. They wanted asparagus with mushrooms and onions, and they also wanted roasted potatoes and a butter sauce. I was like, yes, great. Can't wait.
So,
it was awesome.
So you did it? And what was the
So place? I did it. I struggled.
But you had to.
I learned that day that I will never not be prepared to show up at somebody's house, you know.
Stuff. Yeah.
I mean, I've done it. Like, I've thugged it out in some seriously thugged out situations.
Yeah.
It made it look like gold.
Yeah.
That's just another testament to my life. I'm a survivor. I know how to survive in any environment. I know how to adapt in any environment. You know, I'm going to turn the worst into the best at all times, or I'm going to, you know, do my damnedest to get there.
Do you have siblings, brothers and sisters?
I do. Yeah. I do both biological and adoptive. So, okay. And I'm the youngest out of all my siblings.
Okay.
I'm the wisest.
I know you are. So I was going to ask you, do you find it hard to feel do you find it hard to like feel like the boss of your group when, you know, I believe you are so talented, Manny. You're welcome. And to have older siblings and you be the youngest, do you ever find it hard to convince your older siblings that you know what you're talking about?
Surprisingly, I would say no, because they actually come to me for advice. I was the first person that, for instance, my brother, okay, now he's a year older than me, you know, but we, you know, me and him, we're on the same level. We graduated the same year in high school, you know what I'm saying? We're the same age for real. He's a year older than me. That's it. Long story short, he gets ready to have a baby, right? Who does he tell first? Your boy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He was like, hey, man, but don't tell nobody, though. I was like, all right, don't even trip, man. I got you. I ain't tell nobody. I got him. You feel me?
Yeah.
And then when he's had other issues, like he comes to me and my oldest sister, me and her chatted up all the time. She comes to me for advice all the time.
So they
I'm the level-headed one.
Yeah. So do they?
Because I have the most perspective. Sorry to cut you off, but I feel like I have the most perspective.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen so much, you know, to be able to present, you know, these ideals to them. So I'm pretty proud of it.
100%. I love that about you too. And that's really sweet. Do they listen to your cooking advice?
I mean, they would just rather me cook for them, for real. Like, everybody's, you know, what I'm learning is that, one, my business is very recession proof because people are lazy. They want it here and they want it now. And as long as they want those two things, I'll always be employed, you know?
Yeah.
I'll always eat.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is a high demand, you know, and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be untouchable, but I want people to know that I'm worth it, and my time is just as valuable as your time. So any time that I'm saving you, there's a value to that. Any time that's saved should be maximized in your value, in your net income, in your value there. So,
and you know, Chef Manny, honestly, like, I've met a lot of people that are passionate about the things that they do. And, you know, we've talked over the past couple of weeks and we've really gotten to know each other. And I'm really impressed with how much time and effort that you put in to each and every individual client, because every client's different in your industry.
Mm-hmm.
There
mm-hmm.
might be like a food allergy or
tons.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you run into so many different things and you never miss a beat. And it's like you take a challenge. challenge me, like, bring it, you know, and you deliver every time. I haven't heard anyone have a bad review about you, and I have checked.
Continue to check on that. Trust me. And if they talking about me behind my back, Nikki, let me know. All right.
Check yourself. You are so good at just being a good human, and
thank you,
and a great chef. And you know, you haven't gone to all these prestigious schools, have you? Like, where did you get?
No.
Where'd you get your training?
My training. Mm-hmm. I got my training from various local restaurants. Like I said, I worked for a 3-generation Italian chef, you know, that taught me some of the best in the business, or at least in my region. I learned from a really good friend, mentor, chef of mine, Chef Todd Goodwin. Like, that's my dog. Like, he comes from, I'm not going to say we come from nothing, but that's a saying that we use, you know. It just means we come from a rough past, you know. We come from not as much opportunity as, you know, people might expect or think, you know, to be as great as we are right now. Mm-hmm. And that's what that means, for real. So he's been a great mentor for me. I was trying to, like, I've been trying to hit him up.
Yeah, I know he's been busy, because you told me about him, and I tried to call him, and he didn't answer me. I'm like,
we were working really hard, but I meant to tell you off air, but I meant to tell you that he was like, you know, I'm sorry that I wasn't able to get back to you. You know, maybe on part two, maybe there's some way we might be able to tap in with him, but he does have a pretty grueling schedule right now. He's been cooking for a lot of very important people, and I'm so proud of him. So I come from humble beginnings, and as great as I am right now, I only want to be greater, you know. And if I'm already at the top, then there's no room for growth. And that's why I speak the way that I speak right now.
You're like the Michael Jordan of chefs, and I'm so excited to have you on my show.
I love that. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be here. Trust me. Like, this is such an amazing opportunity. Learning more and more how to maximize my talents as well as my charisma and personality, you know, and I want to try to find new and innovative ways to make that work for me.
So what's next for you? Like, what do you want to do next? Like, what's your next level of, like, I don't know, like, think of Mario Brothers, like leveling up. Beep, 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 beep.
America, I want the world to hear my story as much as you will allow me to tell it. I want to continue to touch people personally through this journey, not only with food, but with, you know, me as a human, and, you know, just be able to touch people in their life as needed, you know, as people touched me throughout my life, you know, like, that's really what it's about. And I think that's the best part about this food journey is all the amazing humans that I've been able to meet that want to not only eat, you know, taste my food, but they want to meet Chef Manny, you know. The first thing we have to do is we have to do a consultation to see you come back time and time again.
You know what? I used to own a business, and it was a business. And I trained dogs, right? Completely different than cooking. But I would go get a client, and they would be like, okay, here's my dog. Here's the problem. Fix him. And based on just the person's, like,
the problem's not the dog. The problem is you.
I know.
You know, so, like, that's the thing.
I would not take the job. I can train any dog, but my job actually wasn't training dogs. It was training owners, you know?
There you go.
And, like, there your job isn't, like, you cook amazing. But when people want to cook, you know, you can't, sometimes you can't teach the unteachable. You know,
I mean, if you cook everything on high, all I can say is turn it down, please.
Yes, I know. You know? That's something you're gonna want to do eventually, isn't it? You want to get into teaching cooking? Yeah.
Ooh, I would love to educate, mentor anybody that wants me to educate them or mentor them. You know, definitely reach out to me, pick my brain, because this is definitely something that I want to be able to do to give back. Because again, there's just so many people that have given me so much in the course of my journey. I didn't pay for any school because school was given to me along my journey. Actually, I got paid to be educated in that sense, because all the jobs that educated me actually did pay me.
All right, so let me put you on the spot right now. If you had a TV show, what would you call it? Brainstorm. I need three ideas. What would you call your show?
A Personal Touch by Manny Hour. The Cooking with Chef Manny Hour. Or it doesn't have to be Hour. We gotta get that Hour thing out of there.
All right, so Manny.
Let's see here.
Manny, Schmanny, Fanny, Panny.
A personal touch cuisine.
Okay, why are you stuck on a personal touch?
Because that's my business name. So it needs to always be there somehow. I want it to always be down that route. They need to always know that.
Okay. What if
me, myself, personally, different? Chef Manny is going to be touching them personally.
That sounds awkward.
It does.
What is your most disgusting food to taste that you hate? You will never eat it.
Ooh, that I'll never eat again?
Yeah.
Caviar.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I've tasted three different kinds, which I can't tell you the name of because that is an experience that I'm still trying to erase from my brain, because I couldn't erase the taste out of my mouth for what seemed like at least a day. Oh. I mean, that was the most intense
taste
that I have ever, you know, and I had the standard amount. I wasn't greedy. We tasted three different kinds.
What's this?
We're all disgusting. Okay.
What is the standard amount? What is the standard amount?
I don't know. It was like a little, just enough to like poison my mouth is what it did. Right. Barely. I mean, and oh my God. I'm about to start sweating thinking about that. It was so nasty.
Okay. All right, let's get you away from that. All right. Okay, so caviar. Oh, clearly. All right, you guys, listen.
Why did you bring that up?
As my loyal, loving fans on TikTok, just know he is not going to be cooking caviar or bringing it or liking it. So,
hey, to each his own. Look, to each his own. Look, just because I'm knocking it down don't mean it's not like worth, you know, $500 or $1,000 or $2,000, whatever. Because it's expensive.
Pour it out.
It's expensive. That stuff is expensive. But it's just not for me. That's okay. All. It's
another
question. Not for me.
Here we go. Ready? Do you taste everything that you serve?
Yes.
All right. Why
everything?
Do
because, like, I don't want to give you any nasty food, first of all. Now, with that being said, I don't always eat my own food, you know, because after I've tasted it, been around it, engulfed it, been in it, like, if you think I'm about to sit down and eat the same meal that I just made or spent all this time on, I probably won't. So it's great that I get to cook these meals for other people, because there's no way that I could sit down and enjoy the same meal that I've slaved over.
All right, what's your favorite vegetable? One word. No explanation, one word. Favorite vegetable.
Is onion a vegetable?
That was not one word. That was a question.
So?
Onion. All right, what's your favorite fruit?
mango. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a whole thing. Yeah, you don't want to.
Whole nother segment, you guys. That is that is Cooking with Mango Manny 3
After Dark.
Mango Manny.
Oh my god,
what is your favorite food that your grandparents or your mom and dad or like, I know because you had a unique upbringing. Mm-hmm. What's the one thing that brings you like nostalgia? Is it the pizza?
No. No.
Yeah.
No. Like for real. Like, I mean, Thanksgiving dinner, because like that's everything. There's a good chance that somebody's going to be bringing some fried chicken, even if it wasn't like made at that house. Somebody's bringing fried chicken. All right. So we got fried chicken, turkey. Somebody bring in some white fish. So some cod or something. They're going to bring one of those dishes. Corn pudding, cornbread, yams, already said turkey, gravy, dressing. Okay. I mean, you know, you either have dressing or you have stuffing, you know. So stuffing is made with bread chunks. It's like a thick bread pudding. Dressing is more like a cornbread pudding.
What's your worst experience as you've been a personal chef?
Not being paid enough by my friends, not being supported enough by my friends.
I learned really early on. I had a business mentor tell me that friends are it's a tricky balance, because some friends will want you to provide your services for free, but your real friends will pay for your service.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because they will want to see you succeed. They will want to invest in you. They believe in you that much where they will invest in you. And I'm a firm believer in, do not ask your friends for freebies. I'm going to say that one more time really loud, yep. You guys. Do not ask your friends for freebies.
When they say it one more time for the one in the back there. He didn't hear you.
Chloe? Yes, but I mean, when you have friends that are business owners and are trying to make it, you don't ask them for freebies unless they're giving you something else for it. So let's talk about
exactly.
This. Let's talk about, okay, I will give you, you know, maybe you have two business owners and we've got Chef mm-hmm. Manny and this other person who's a restaurant owner. And then Chef Manny comes and cooks on a private occasion for free, which is never for free because you have to buy the food. You have to spend the gas. It's never for free. There's so much going on that the friends shouldn't even ask you to do that, but they still do, don't they? and then what they should do is they should at least give you three multimillionaire referrals that you would
thank know. You
yeah
thank you and
yeah
that was the and for me in my brain that was my motivation and my plan coming out.
Yeah,
I actually had a couple of friends that knew a couple of people and I was like, all right, cool. So I'm gonna cook for you. I'm gonna do this for you because I know you're gonna look out for me. You know, you're going to let this person know who I really need to know that I'm doing this as well. You're going to do that, right? So when I come down to Atlanta, everything's going to work out, right?
Yep.
You know, and then they don't work out, but then you still, you know, they barely paid you gas money on this part too. Like,
yeah.
You know, so no investment real there, you know, but then people go, you know, they always be like, well, Manny is expensive, man. I'm about to go mess with him because he ain't expensive. that was something that, you know, really early, you know, I had to learn from. It's the greatest and the worst experience. You know, every experience is always going to be the greatest and the worst experience. You know, you have to figure out why in that process. And, you know, through those experiences, I did figure out what my worth was, though, through that. I figured out what I needed to go through to be successful. I figured out that I needed to have my own kitchen basically in my car, you know, because I needed to have things to be comfortable, to be able to provide the highest quality product for my clients, no matter what environment I'm in, you know. And I learned all those things. And now I've done my research. I know what it costs to hire a private chef. Like, it's not cheap, unfortunately, because I mean, if you will go to a decent restaurant to go get a steak and you know what you pay there, just know that you're going to pay 3 to 4 times more for me to come into your house to do that. But if you got it like that and you want that experience, then, you know, what's stopping you from, you know, paying the best for that, though?
And I'll tell you what, you have a great story, but let's not take away from the fact that you have honed your skills so amazing that people want you over and over again. I think we were talking about the fact that you were doing an anniversary for a couple. I don't know if you remember that story, but tell me about that one.
Which one? You mean like this, right? Which one?
They're one of your, you were telling me they were one of your most like repetitive customers. And I don't know. I have it wrong.
So let's just talk about, like I said, let's just talk about the dinner we're doing this weekend. So, you know, they've already rented the location that they want. She's actually putting on for him. So she hired private masseuses for the both of them that they'll have before dinner. And I'll be preparing some light appetizers for them. Just like it's going to be an Italian inspired turkey meatball with a Alfredo Parmesan sauce that I'm gonna have those dipped in, and I'm also gonna do some vegetable stuffed mushrooms with some roasted. I'm gonna dice up the peppers and onions really fine. I'm gonna chop some rosemary and thyme up, and as well as I take the stalks of the mushrooms, and you chop that up real fine. I'm going to saute that and then incorporate some goat cheese with that. I'm going to roll all that into some goat cheese and stuff it back into the mushrooms. So that should be, you know, a nice little snack before dinner. And then from there, we just have a elegant 4-course menu that we're going to work through. It's going to take us a couple of hours to get through, and I'm excited to spend that time with those clients. So,
all right. Favorite cheese?
My favorite cheese? I like a good Gouda. I love a good Gouda. I've had some really decent fontinas infused with some wines that have been really good. I like the softness of those.
What are your favorites?
You said
favorite.
Yeah, I would say my favorite is probably some Goudas that I've had. I love that smoky, smoked Gouda.
Okay. Give me your weirdest pairing. Weirdest pairing.
I was about to say sweet grits.
Everyone in Louisiana right now is like, oh, honey.
Like, who is you? Who is you, for real? You wilding out here.
Weirdest. I'll tell you, my brother used to love an egg sandwich, and then he would, instead of like mayo, he would put peanut butter on it. So it was peanut butter, egg, and cheese. And that was his favorite thing of all time. Yeah. So give me something weird.
Okay. Okay. I should have just stuck with the sugar and my grits thing. That would have got him. Like, how am I supposed to follow up with that?
Weird combo. What about like something you know what? Okay, here's another one that I find. I like toast with butter on it. And then like I dip it in my coffee and it tastes like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I don't know. My mom taught me.
No. And
It's
then you have like crumbs all in your coffee
yeah,
too.
I drink that. And then I get to the bottom and it's like still like left in there, but toast
All
up
that
with
gluten. You
sugar.
did.
Here's what we're gonna do, Chef Manny. We're gonna do a part two. I'd like to do it super soon. We'll talk after the show, and let's do a cooking. I don't know, not a cook-off because you can't tell if I'm doing it right, but you can walk
Oh,
me
who did
through.
it better?
Yeah, but you can walk me through what you're doing, and I'll do the same thing. Yeah.
For sure. And we'll do something simple. We're not going to do what I did today because that's advanced. You can't do that.
I
You
mean,
can't do that. I know you cook on high. I don't trust you. But I'm going to teach you though. Hey, shout out to the ladies that cook their food on high. Turn that stuff down.
I thought you were going to say turn it up. Turn it up.
No.
I'm sorry, but all right. Yes, no. Turn it down, ladies. Turn it down, ladies.
No,
You heard
that's what you were supposed to say. Turn down for what?
it there. All right, you guys. So that is it for me and Chef Manny, our favorite chef. If you want to reach him, you can go find him on Instagram. Just look up Chef Manny and you can message him right from there if you guys have any requests. Anything else that you need, you can message me. You can go to my website at www.nicktalklive.com. You can also find me on Spotify and Anchor and every possible place that you can listen to a podcast, including Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much. Again, thank you to my sponsors, SoCal Jet Ski and Liberty Home Mortgage. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much. And if you have any questions about my sponsors or a way to become a sponsor, please get a hold of me as well. You can find me on all of my social websites, which you should know by now because I just said a couple of them. But that's it. Feel free to message me. And thanks for listening again to this episode of Nick Talk. Have a great day, you guys. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.